Investment flash.
Oil's geopolitical premium is melting, and private credit investors are sprinting for the exits. This weekend, we're breaking down what it means for your portfolio, from a 60-day Iran deal to a rare super El Nino.
Welcome to Investment Flash for Saturday, June 21st. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald. We've got a packed show. Oil geopolitics, private credit redemptions, Bank of America tech picks, and a super El Nino guide that could redraw your watch list.
And we start with oil. Gerald, you've been eyeing that Strait of Hormuz risk, right?
Yeah, look, VP Vance in Switzerland for Iran talks, an interim 60-day deal, and suddenly 16 million barrels flowed through Hormuz without a hiccup. The United States oil fund is still up 66% year to date, but that supply premium unwind has room. The risk premium is deflating fast.
Hold on. It's a 60-day interim deal. If talks collapse, oil snaps back violently. Selling here is betting on diplomacy, and I'm not that confident. I mean, I get the supply side argument, but diplomacy is messy.
But Gerald's also pointing to Iraq boosting output to over 3 million barrels per day. That's a real supply pulse, not just hope.
Exactly. The Energy Select Sector SPDR was down over 1.6% last session. That's the market pricing in the de-escalation. I'd sell the oil ETF and the energy ETF here.
All right, fair point. The supply side is loosening. But I'm keeping an eye on gold. If the Iran deal holds, safe haven demand fades.
Gold flat on the year. Not much to lose. But let's pivot to a meltdown that's closer to my heart. Crypto. Strategy, that's the Bitcoin treasury company, down 75% from its all-time high. And its preferred stock just crashed to $83. Gerald, you must be loving this.
Tom, buddy, Strategy's preferred at 17% below par, unrealized Bitcoin losses of over $11 billion, and they just burned cash on a bond buyback. That's not a buying opportunity. That's a capital structure crack.
But they hold 846,000 Bitcoin. If Bitcoin bounces, Strategy could rip. It's only 8% above its 52-week low. I think the sell call is late.
Wait, if Bitcoin drops below 60,000, the losses deepen, and dividend coverage on the preferred is just 6 months. Illiquidity plus leverage is a dangerous cocktail, Tom.
Okay, but no one's forcing them to sell Bitcoin now. They just did a buyback to manage liabilities. Maybe it's a one-time stress.
The bond buyback consumed cash, and the preferred dividend coverage shrunk. One more Bitcoin dip, and the entire capital structure is under severe pressure. I'm with the sell signal.
And this ties right into private credit, but we'll get there. First, Japan's mega banks, record dividends, Mitsubishi UFJ, Sumitomo Mitsui, and Mizuho, all up over 30% year to date.
2 trillion yen in dividends. That's a win, and they're all near 52-week highs.
Exactly, Tom. Near 52-week highs. The record payout is already priced. It's a hold, not a buy. I'd rather stick with yesterday's Commerzbank call, which still has upside.
But Gerald, Japan's shareholder reforms are real. A 16 times trailing price-to-earnings ratio for MUFG with stable dividends isn't bad for income.
Yeah, and compared to yesterday's European bank play, these have more momentum.
Fair enough, but momentum near all-time highs can reverse. I'll watch.
Now, something that's beaten down, China's large-cap ETF, FXI, is at its 52-week low. But Hong Kong's financial secretary is talking up tech giants.
I love this. A mean reversion trade on China tech? FXI could rip if sentiment shifts. The sell-off is overdone.
Wait. The bear case is still massive. Regulatory headwinds, property woes. A shift in sentiment could spark a rally, but fundamentals are lagging.
I'd rather buy European equities from yesterday's call, honestly. China's a gamble.
Come on, Gerald. You're going to miss a 52-week low ripper? I'm putting FXI on my radar.
Calling the bottom on China again. That's 6 bottoms this cycle, Tom.
Fair enough. But this time feels different with the HK tech push.
All right, let's get to something with more solid footing. Bank of America's top tech picks. NVIDIA, Meta, Snowflake, Dynatrace, and SanDisk.
Now we're talking. NVIDIA at 16.6 times forward earnings is a steal. With AI dominance, that's a buy.
But Snowflake at 86.5 times forward earnings, that's not a steal. That's highway robbery. And SanDisk, up 820% year to date. The easy money is long gone.
Dynatrace at 18.3 times forward earnings with only a 2% dip year to date looks interesting. A lower risk growth play.
See, Gerald, you always hyper-focus on the high flyer. NVIDIA and Meta at 15 to 16 times are perfectly reasonable. I'd buy those.
Meta down 11% year to date, fair. But Snowflake's optimism is baked in. I'm watching that one from a distance.
An analyst raising price targets after an 820% rally is basically a retirement plan.
Ooh, that's brutal, but not wrong.
Moving on. Goldman Sachs upgrading Allegiant Travel to buy. $125 price target. Tom, you love a good travel play.
30% upside. Allegiant is still 15% below its high after a 5% pop. The Sun Country acquisition and Spirit's exit give them pricing power. I'm in.
Wait, benefiting from a competitor's closure is temporary. That's not a sustainable moat. The airline sector is brutal.
Travel stocks are cyclical, Tom. You're buying near a high on merger hopes. I'd watch.
But the 5% pop says the market is waking up. I think there's more.
All right, but let's talk about the red flags from the private credit market. An investor racing to pull $80 million, Ares Capital and the Putnam BDC Income ETF near 52-week lows.
This is the real story. Redemption queues are building, and the liquidity squeeze could intensify. This isn't just noise.
Gerald, Ares Capital is down 23% from its high and trading at 0.92 times book. Much of the downside is priced. Selling now is late.
But if gates go up and redemptions freeze, NAVs could gap down. The stress isn't over. I'd still be cautious.
Private credit redemptions, it's like a bank run, but with nicer suits.
That's fair. Exactly. The private credit structure was built for low rates, and now we're seeing the cracks. Not doom, but not over.
That's the whole story.
100%.
Right.
Now, the most original take today, Bloomberg's guide to a super El Niño. This is a climate event that could scramble agriculture and insurance markets.
Yeah, the agriculture fund, DBA, only up 5% year to date. So weather premiums aren't priced, but timing is uncertain.
I'm watching DBA. If crops get hit, that fund moves. But it's a long-term play.
And the insurance ETF, KIE, down 2% year-to-date. Extreme weather claims would spike. Insurers are not priced for a bad hurricane season. This is a tangible risk.
So we're adding DBA and KIE to watch lists. But today's big picture is about geopolitical premium deflation meeting liquidity stress.
And here's what's missing. The Federal Reserve. Nobody's connecting the oil supply surge to inflation. A sustained oil drop would lower CPI and give the Fed room.
To be fair, if oil comes down from up 66% year to date, headline inflation eases. That could shift the rate path, but it's not being discussed, which is a missing puzzle piece.
The cleanest expression of this moment is increased dispersion, active over passive. Sell crowded energy longs, buy beaten down, like Domino's Pizza down 26% year to date, or FXI at lows.
I'll push back on that. Domino's is down for a reason. But I agree dispersion favors stock pickers. The old narratives are stale.
All right, we're out of time. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify for daily market flashes.
We're back Monday with the London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. Have a great rest of the weekend.